Do you ever struggle with spiritual doubt? I received an email once from someone who was struggling with spiritual doubt in their life. Here is what they said, quote, "When God doesn't answer our prayers the way we want, when God disappoints us, when we follow God and it takes us to a dead-end road, and when the church or other Christians disappoint us, what do we do? I see some people go on playing Christian even though they don't trust God. They have all the actions down. The social life and involvement seems to meet some needs, so they continue on. Others are more honest about their feelings, about God, or their doubts. When these people can't find the answers from church leaders, they walk away from God. Others, on the other hand, are honest about their feelings of doubt about God and others, even though they both disappoint them. Somehow, though, they still manage to cling to God and keep searching and trusting God." End quote. You see, this individual is expressing the fact that Christians sometimes experience spiritual doubt. Have you ever struggled with spiritual doubt in your life? Spiritual doubt means we don't trust God and His Word. Spiritual doubt means we question God and His ways. Some examples of spiritual doubt in our life that some of us battle with are: we may doubt whether there is a God who made us and everything we see. Sometimes we doubt that God is concerned about us. Sometimes we doubt whether or not we can trust God. Sometimes we doubt whether God is in control over the details of our life, or we wonder whether things are just random. Sometimes we doubt whether God is good, even though the Bible says He's good. Sometimes we may doubt whether the Bible is really the Word of God. We may doubt whether there is a heaven or a hell, or whether Jesus is really the Son of God, or He's the only way to God, and that people who reject Him are going to spend an eternity in hell separated from Him. For some of you, you may at times doubt whether or not God is going to really meet your needs, or whether or not He hears your prayers. And those situations that happen in life that appear to be answers to prayer, sometimes the thoughts come to your mind that, well, this was just coincidental. It really wasn't an answer to prayer. You see, we could go on and on and on with the spiritual doubts that we as Christians sometimes battle. And if most Christians were honest with themselves, they would have to agree that they do, in fact, battle spiritual doubt in their life. Some of our doubts are just passing and fleeting, whereas some of our doubts can be very persistent and nagging. And spiritual doubt in the end will ultimately strengthen your faith, or it will weaken your faith. Now, God's ideal is that we not doubt Him, that we trust Him, because the Bible makes it very clear that without faith it is impossible to please God. And so God wants us to walk in an attitude of faith. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul says we walk by faith, not by sight. And so God's ideal standard for you and I as Christians is that we walk in faith, but there are times in our life where we wrestle with spiritual doubt. And even though it's not God's ideal that we doubt Him, God can often use our spiritual doubts to strengthen our faith, to refine our faith, and in the end, we will come out spiritually stronger. Now, what I want to do in this message is give you several principles as to how you and I can deal with spiritual doubt in our life. The first way we deal with spiritual doubt is we need to remind ourselves that the characters of the Bible sometimes struggled with spiritual doubt as well. We need to remind ourselves that characters in the Bible struggled with spiritual doubt as well. And the reason why we need to remind ourselves of this is it often encourages us. It helps us to realize that we're not alone, that God has worked through people in the Scripture who struggled with doubt, and God was still able to use them, and He still loved them in spite of their doubt. For example, we see Eve in the garden. When Satan was tempting her, Satan said, did God really say you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree? And so Satan initially interjected doubt in Eve's mind. And Eve wrestled with this doubt, and it ultimately led to her committing sin along with Adam. If you read the book of Job, it is very clear that Job wrestled with doubt. On the one hand, Job said, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But as you read the book of Job, you see where Job is wrestling with God, and he's telling God that there's no major sin in his life, and why is he going through what he's going through? And God answers Job at the end of the book. And so Job wrestled with spiritual doubt. Then we see Abraham and Sarah wrestling with doubt in their life. In Genesis 16, when God told them that Sarah was going to have a child in her older age, Sarah laughed. And of course, because they doubted God, especially when God delayed the fulfillment of bringing about Isaac, they took matters into their own hands, and Abraham slept with Hagar and produced Ishmael. See, that was a lack of faith on Abraham and Sarah's part. They doubted God. Then we see in 1 Kings chapter 19 where Elijah doubted God. God delivered Elijah and showed Elijah and all the prophets of Baal that Jehovah was the true God when he incinerated the sacrifice. But then Elijah flees from Jezebel out of fear, and he doubted God. Jeremiah doubted God. In Jeremiah chapter 12, God had warned Jeremiah that he was going to suffer, and Jeremiah was being persecuted even by his own family members. And as a result, in Jeremiah chapter 12, he cries out to God, and he says, God, why is this happening, and why do the wicked prosper? We see in the New Testament in Luke chapter 1, when Zechariah the priest was going into the temple, an angel appeared to him and told him that his wife Elizabeth was going to give birth to John the Baptist. And Zechariah said, well, how do I know this is going to happen? You see, he had a moment of spiritual doubt. And John the Baptist in Matthew chapter 11 experienced doubt because Jesus wasn't the type of Messiah that John the Baptist envisioned. John the Baptist was in jail. And so John sent delegates from jail to Jesus to ask him, was he the Messiah or should he be looking for someone else? You see, John experienced spiritual doubt in his life. And finally, we see the Apostle Paul, even in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8, he says, speaking of his trials, that he was perplexed, but not without despair. See, the Apostle Paul at times experienced perplexity. He didn't understand why God was doing the things that he was doing. And again, some of these people experienced spiritual doubt in their life only for a momentary period of time, and others of them may have struggled with it for a protracted period of time. But you and I need to remind ourselves that we are not alone whenever we struggle with spiritual doubt. And this is especially true for new Christians, because sometimes when a person becomes a Christian, and as they're seeking to walk with God in their daily life, they will often be assaulted by spiritual doubt, and many times they will feel like they are peculiar. They will feel like something is wrong with them, that most Christians don't struggle with spiritual doubt. And the fact of the matter is, all Christians at times struggle with spiritual doubt. And what's true of you and me is true of many of the characters of the Bible. Many of them wrestled with God when God did not make sense, when God did not answer their prayers according to the way that they wanted him to. Many of them struggled with this matter of spiritual doubt. And even though you may at times have periods in your life where you're wrestling with God, and maybe you're asking questions, and maybe you're going through a period of spiritual doubt, and it's shaking the foundations of your spiritual life, rest assured in the fact that God can use your spiritual doubt. Now, God's ideal, as I mentioned before, is for you to trust him. God doesn't want us to doubt him. But in spite of our sin of spiritual doubt, God can use that in our life, and he can use it to strengthen us. So if you want to deal with spiritual doubt in your life, the first thing you need to do is remind yourself that many of the characters of the Bible wrestled and struggled with spiritual doubt, and that serves as an encouragement to you and I. Well, the second way that you and I can deal with spiritual doubt is we must identify the source of our spiritual doubt. Doubt usually comes from a particular source. There is a reason why we are experiencing spiritual doubt in our life. And you see, if we can identify the root, we will be able to deal with the fruit. And sometimes as we're going through a spiritual experience in our life that's creating spiritual doubt, we may not know why we're doubting God. Sometimes it's very clear, sometimes we can pinpoint it, and sometimes we don't know what's causing the spiritual doubt. And sometimes we need to do self-inventory, and other times we need to have a brother or sister in the Lord that we can talk to, and as we process with them what we're going through and our struggle, they may be able to help us identify what the spiritual doubt is. And it's so important that we look at what the root is so that we can deal with it effectively. I go to a chiropractor on a regular basis in order to adjust my back. And you know, one of the signs that they have posted in the office is they have this iceberg, and they show the tip of the iceberg above the water, but then you could see beneath the surface the large portion of the iceberg. And at the top of the sign, it says the following: we don't deal with symptoms, but rather we deal with root causes. And that's what you and I need to do as we're dealing with spiritual doubt. We don't need to deal with the symptoms, we need to deal with the root. So what are some of the sources of doubt in our life? Well, one of them is obviously Satan. We see this again in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. It says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?'" And see, Satan's strategy right off the bat was to inject doubt into Eve's mind. He knew that if he can get her to doubt God's word, she would be more likely to sin, and of course, his strategy worked. And so Satan sometimes will fire his missiles of doubt in our mind. He will fire thoughts such as, well, you can't trust the Bible, and God doesn't really care about you, and maybe there is no God. Or God is not concerned about your problem because you've been praying for a long time and you don't seem to get an answer to prayer. And so Satan sometimes will fire those missiles of doubt in our mind because he knows that if he can get us to doubt God on a regular basis, he knows that we will not commit ourselves to follow God, because typically you do not give yourself to someone that you do not trust. And if you don't trust God, you're not going to give yourself in full commitment to him. So if Satan is causing the doubt, the Bible says you need to take up Ephesians 6, the shield of faith. That's why Paul says it's important in our spiritual warfare that we take up the armor of faith, because when Satan fires his missiles at us, the shield of faith says, I take God at his word and I trust God rather than doubt God. Another source of spiritual doubt in our life is self. Basically, you and I are fallen, sinful individuals, and we all have different personalities. And some people tend to have a personality that is given over to spiritual doubt. They tend to be pessimistic by nature, and so they tend not to trust. For some people, they've been betrayed or they've been hurt by other people in their family or maybe among their friends, and as a result, they project their sense of doubt onto God because they don't trust other people. For some people, they tend to be over-analytical in their personality, and they analyze everything, and as a result, they struggle with doubt. So sometimes we are the enemy. We ourselves struggle with doubt because of our fallen nature, and coupled with our fallen nature is our own personalities, and sometimes our personalities get into the way and we tend to doubt. One example of this in the Bible, as many of us know, is Thomas, better known as Doubting Thomas. In John chapter 20, verses 24 through 25, it says, "Now Thomas, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came." That is after Jesus rose from the dead. "So the other disciples told him, 'We have seen the Lord.' But he said to them, 'Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand in his side, I will not believe.'" You see, Thomas needed empirical evidence. Thomas was the type of guy that unless he saw it, he would not believe it, because he had that personality that tended to be more pessimistic, more doubtful. He saw the glass half empty. And so sometimes we need to deal with ourselves. We need to deal with our own personalities. And sometimes we have to realize that doubt comes from our fallen, sinful nature. It's part of the curse. We tend not to trust God by nature. We want to act independent of God, and we want to see it rather than believe it by faith. And so sometimes we have to deal with our fallen nature. We have to put it to death, and we have to choose to trust God. Well, another source of spiritual doubt in our life is the world system in which you and I live. The Bible talks about the world system in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. It says, "Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world and its lusts are passing away, but he who does the will of God abides forever." Now, he mentions that the world system in which you and I live is characterized by lust and greed, our flesh, materialism, sensuality. These are what dominate the world system in which you and I live. And as you and I walk in this world system, we are bombarded all the time with thoughts of doubt. We are bombarded all the time with messages that basically tell us not to trust God. We are bombarded on the airways and on our television and on the internet with articles that basically say the Bible is filled with error, it's myth, it's not to be trusted. We are told that Jesus is not the Son of God, he was just another man, and that all religions lead to God, and there are no eternal consequences for our sin, and there is no afterlife. All there is the grave. And see, when you're fed a steady barrage of these type of messages, if you're not careful and you don't take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, like 2 Corinthians 10 says, what will happen is that will generate spiritual doubt in your life. I mean, we see this in the world of education. That part of education that leaves God out in many of the secular schools, that's part of the world system in which you and I live. And many kids go to school and they have their faith vitiated by many of these professors because they undermine the Bible and Jesus Christ. And as a result, many supposed Christians go into these institutions and they walk out spiritually questioning God and the Bible because of what they've been taught. And so we got to be aware of the world system. That's why it says, "Do not love the world nor anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." You and I are not to be conformed to the world, Romans chapter 12 says, but we are to stand against the world system. We're to be in the world, but the Bible says we're not to be of the world. God saved us out of the world, and so we have to be very discerning with what we're listening to, what we're watching, and whose teaching we're sitting under if we are going to deal effectively with spiritual doubt. And so if you're going to deal with spiritual doubt in your life, you got to know the source of where the doubt is coming from. And first of all, we said Satan is a source. Secondly, self is a source. And thirdly, the world system in which you and I live, that is that system that is against God, that is another aspect of why we struggle with spiritual doubt. Well, there's a fourth source of spiritual doubt in our life, and that is other people. Other people, Christian and particularly non-Christian, can be a source of doubt in our life. It may be a family member who doesn't know Jesus Christ that implants seeds of doubt in your mind because they don't embrace the God of Christianity. Or maybe they're atheists or agnostics, and so a family member whom you love may plant seeds of doubt in your mind. It could be a friend. It could be a coworker. It could be a teacher, a professor. In some cases, unfortunately, it could be a pastor or a church leader. You have liberal churches that don't believe the Word of God. They teach all paths lead to God. And sometimes Christians go into churches or into arenas where they have spiritual teachers that supposedly represent God, and what these individuals do is they plant spiritual doubt in the minds of other people. This was happening to the Corinthian Christians. Corinth was dominated by Greek philosophy, and other people within the Corinthian culture and church were creating spiritual doubt in the minds of the Corinthian believers by outright denying the resurrection of believers. You see, in Greek philosophy, they taught matter was evil and spirit is good. And according to the Greeks, God's not going to raise your body because the body is evil. In fact, your body is simply a prison house for your soul. And so salvation to the Greeks was the releasing of the soul from the prison house of the body. And this theology was getting into the Corinthian church, and many of them were embracing this philosophical dualism. And that's why Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says the following to the Corinthian Christians: do not be misled by this error. He says, bad company corrupts good character. See, this theology and these people they were associating with was corrupting their theology, and many of the Corinthians were saying, there's not going to be a resurrection from the dead. And Paul says in chapter 15, look, if believers are not going to be physically raised from the dead, that means Christ was not raised from the dead. And if Christ was not raised from the dead, he says, you're still in your sins, and our faith is futile. But he says, Christ rose from the dead, and he is the first fruits of our resurrection. His resurrection guarantees our resurrection. And so Paul is saying, look, don't associate with these people. He says, bad company corrupts good morals. He says, come back to your senses as you ought and stop sinning. For there are some who are ignorant of God, and I say this to your shame. You see, he's identifying other people as the source of their spiritual doubt because they were sitting under bad theology and bad teaching, and as a result, it created doubt. Now, obviously, you can't separate yourself completely from other people. You may work in an environment where you have people that are creating spiritual doubt, and that's why it's so important as a Christian that you are grounded in your belief system, you are grounded in the Word of God, you are grounded in defending your faith apologetically, so that when people that you know or associated with throw at you these arguments, you are able to defend your faith and be firm in your faith. And so on the one hand, you and I need to avoid people that are creating spiritual doubt, but we can't always get away from certain people and their teaching, and so we need to be equipped to defend our faith. And so we all at times battle spiritual doubt. We all struggle with it. How do we deal with spiritual doubt? Well, the first thing is you must remind yourself that the characters of the Bible, they struggled with spiritual doubt, just like you and I do, and that is a source of encouragement for us. And secondly, you must identify the source of your spiritual doubt. If you can get at the root, then you could deal with the fruit. And we said Satan is a source of spiritual doubt, self, the world system, and other people. Now, next time, we're going to look at the other sources of spiritual doubt. And maybe you're listening and you doubt whether or not Jesus Christ is the Son of God, whether or not he died on the cross for your sins and rose from the dead. Well, I can tell you, based on New Testament evidence, based on the reliability of the New Testament documents, Jesus did, in fact, live historically. He did die on the cross. He did rise from the dead. And Jesus made it very clear that if you're willing to acknowledge your sin and believe in him, he would forgive you of all your sins and give you the gift of eternal life. Are you willing to put away your spiritual doubt and trust in Jesus Christ?